It's time for the Steve and Kyle podcast with Kyle.
The man's life was lost in 1935 before he could properly be celebrated.
It's been 100 years since he invented this stupid thing.
To the flu. Yeah. Okay? So it's time that he gets what he is owed, and that is a proper public send-off with a plaque by a local 3D printer.
And Steve.
Hurts, I really cannot get a read on right now. I like his athletic ability. I don't know if he can throw the ball that well, but I don't think he's going to be bad. I don't think he's necessarily like your quote unquote franchise quarterback. But
we can't thank you enough for coming on.
Live on tape from APS 3. Whatever, it's the Steve and Kyle podcast.
Thank you, Melissa. I feel like we need Melissa's website. I feel like every time I say thank you, Melissa, I should be saying follow her at Melissa Vaughn. voiceovers.net or something.
Yeah, like I bet you she has to have social media presence, right?
Do you think she has any idea that we talk about her as much as we do?
No. I have a lot of questions. I've mentioned this before. I have so many questions for her just because it felt kind of when we made this order with Melissa, like she gave one of those comments at the end that she says to everybody, right? It's like the rock show where you guys are the best crowd we've had all tour.
I just remembered what we were supposed to talk about today.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Morning Reed. I want to make fun of your career again.
It's working out fine for me.
Because at the end of the interactions with Melissa about this voiceover, there was something included like, boy, you guys sure are silly and you're really funny. Like,
really?
I
don't think I heard that.
I would have to find the interaction. Yeah. I'm not going to do that. She said that to everybody, right?
Probably, yeah. I doubt that. I doubt we are unique in any way.
I mean, we didn't send her anything ridiculous.
No.
I mean, their main thing, and I think the biggest concern for a lot of those voiceover people, especially female, is probably people requesting sexual things or fetish things that say these things to me that I can record.
Fetish things, and then please wait as our menu options have recently changed.
Yeah, I bet you somewhere.
For administration, press 1. For human resources, press 2.
Yeah.
I would love that gig, by the way. Somebody wants to give me that gig of just being the guy who says, please listen carefully as our list of options has recently changed.
And can you, the bigger, you know, golden egg hunt here, find the one where the listing options haven't recently changed?
Yeah.
Because every phone menu ever.
Everyone. Why do they all say
has recently changed? No, you haven't.
Like, are they getting paid by the minute that they keep us on hold?
Yeah,
it's not like a 1-900 number from back in the day.
Were the 90s just really mean to those people with callers saying, well, I used to be a number 2 to talk to you, Tina, and now I have to press 0*, and then 3. And so, you know, did this interaction with customer and Tina create a wave of change in phone menu options? Because it's banks, it's utilities. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Everyone you call. Hey, I want to talk about something real quick.
Yeah.
We talked about it briefly when you got here, and that was the big goings on in the Zach today.
Yeah. If we're going to talk the Zach.
Oh, we do have to.
I can filibuster while you dig that up.
Yeah. No. You don't have to filibuster at all.
New tech, baby.
In a cul-de-sac, a little up the road, there's a guy named Steve who you may or may not know. His neighbors knew him from his side gig show. When Steve moved in, away they all go. The birders, the widow, and the volleyball players. The silent neighbors and the secret lair. Just wave your hand, just wave your hand. Got a folding card table and two microphones. Got two dead neighbors, the others moved away. Got a folding card table and two microphones.
Thank you, Zach. Okay, now we...
quite a complex history of the Zach when it's...
It is, yeah, it's
boiled
funny.
Down to a 30-second...
Yeah,
Diddy.
Because we play that, and we don't play that a lot. We don't come in the Zach that often.
Right.
The Zach, of course, is the nickname that we have given the cul-de-sac, which I am determined to get other people in the Zach to start saying.
I think you're more likely to get more people to move.
Really?
Than come along with, like,
the Zach?
You forcing your wife on her machine. To make you all matching the Zach shirts.
Oh, that would be nice.
He's going to maybe you can create little solstice packages for everybody on the Zach.
And we'll each have nicknames naturally. So, like, it'll be like a jersey. So, you know, mine will have my name and then my number on the back of it.
Frisbo 1, Frisbo 2.
Frisbo 1 and Frisbo 2. I know that we do know their names.
Well, you know their name from the next door social media app when they moved in, right?
Well, I think that's the only way that we've
and where she liked you saying, like, welcome to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And that's right, been
so like, welcome neighbor. And it was like 11 days later, I got the thumbs up
Ding.
Or the
and that's
whatever.
Been it. So to recap, Frisboer 1 and 2 to the right of
them. That would be original. The only original family left on the block.
Okay, because as we talked about, they've all either died or had enough of your and moved away.
Look, it's hard to say.
One federal boob inspector, croc wearing sweat-panted idiot putting up an antenna on a Sunday was enough.
Look,
for everybody.
The federal boob inspector and Croc. No, I do have a pair of Crocs. Crap. And I do have sweatpants. Oh, man. 2 out of 3.
But they're an original. I don't know much about them. We haven't really talked about them.
It's a couple that has at least one son who's got to be like a senior in high school.
Okay.
He's driving.
So we're at 2. We're at 5. 5 Scherzies now. And you're just going to have to put what? Gramps and Grams? Because
I
they're
guess
like,
so.
Because they're the old maid and old mister?
Old? What's the opposite of maid?
What is the male version of old maid?
Old manor? I don't know. Put that on the poll.
It is going on the poll.
Okay, good.
But yeah, and then... for the son, you got like whippersnapper, something like that. Really age yourself. And then to the right of them is another youngerish couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
new
two young.
Now
kids.
Was that where the really old lady found the 5-galloner and punted it across the hallway?
Yes.
Okay. That's the bucket and her neck.
Next to them.
We lost her.
Yeah.
That's what I'm playing. Yeah, she's... Again, I don't know why. I think it's neck related, but neither here nor
Look,
there.
Could be anything.
So young couple, and I don't believe we've talked much about them either.
Nope. Fairly
had many
fairly quiet. I had interactions. Hey, how's it going? Yeah. Type stuff.
Nothing overly cordial, whatever. And then to the right of them is Justin with a Y, Julie with an X, I believe, is how she's referred to.
Yeah,
who you have text communication with and
good friends.
I am assured he wants you to leave him alone.
Okay.
To the right of them,
yeah,
Is it nothing but that corner house?
Another young couple on the corner.
And that's the one where they would play, you know, they play catch with their kids in the yard. This is the only interaction I recall of you having with them mm-hmm. was you saying you'd come by or something, or you'd it was early on when you moved in. You spoke with them.
It was,
they had like a group of people out there playing catch or something. But I'm assuming you haven't kept remember. Up on a cordial relationship with them.
Actually, we talked to them. We were everyone. It was crazy. Last night, I happened to look out the window. We'd get Evelyn ready for bed and brushed her teeth, went and looked out the window. And like everyone in the Zach was outside, kids running around everywhere. Evelyn wasn't really ready for bed yet, so we were like, let's go outside for a couple minutes and just kind of mingle. Mm-hmm. So we talked to the people on the corner. The
corner, okay.
Caught up with them. Hadn't talked to them in a while.
Okay.
But yeah, I love it. Love the Zach.
We call them the gatekeepers. You know, they've got
they were the first.
Got a large lot. They're on the corner.
Plus, they were the first one. They were the first of the new generation.
Right, before you.
And then on the other side of us, of course, we have formerly Joe mm-hmm. and Sue.
Not Slip, not Joe the Lattice Man.
No.
Joe the Widower, who ran off with Cindy the Widow, who lived on the other side of you. They couldn't handle the idea of you trying to literally and physically come between them. So they ran off together.
I would have traded.
To happily.
I would have traded houses with Cindy. Well, I like their house.
You wouldn't have traded
nice
with Joe because... Joe, after he left, had a shed catch on fire. So,
although Joe, man, they have a nice pool over there. They have a beautiful, beautiful backyard. I would have. Now, I don't want to be a pool guy.
Don't you dare run away from your destiny. You just said the words, beautiful pool.
Yeah, I know. I caught myself, or I tried to catch myself.
And I think you're in it. I think you're...
Well, I mean, that's another long time storyline on this show.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no payoff for that.
No.
There's no payoff for that. I would argue there's as much payoff for that pool as there is that godforsaken Jeep in your garage. I don't think either of them are going to see the light of day.
I think that there's a better chance of me getting a pool than getting the Jeep on the road in a timely manner.
Weather here can change on a dime. But anyway, that's a quick... recap of what we have on the Zach. So I came in today, and it's a totally different date and record time.
By the way, it is Saturday, September 11th, 2021, the year of our Lord, the Stephen Kyle podcast, recording at 6 p.m. on a Saturday. That's got to
right.
be a first.
That's right.
It's got to be a first.
Funky nope. schedules yeah. for us, or for me, mm-hmm. but we made it work. So I did pull in at a different time today.
Yeah.
And when I pulled in, I noticed it, but I wasn't even going to mention it to you because I didn't know exactly what was going on. Mm-hmm. To the left of Justin with a Y and Julie with an X, and before Gramps and Grams and the Whippersnapper,
yeah,
there was some activity in the yard.
Yeah.
Some
of the formerly the kick the bucket old lady house.
That's right. That's right.
So
here's the murder inheritors.
So to give a little background, the woman that used to live there passed away 2 years ago
sure.
around Christmas. So
stress
her house
of, stress of the holiday season.
Sure. Her house was not sold until actually no, it must have yeah, her house was not sold until the following summer, which was last summer. Late in the summer, I think that they moved in, I want to say July, August, something like mm-hmm. that. So the house kind of fell into disarray for a couple of months.
Okay.
Nobody was keeping up with it. The grass had gotten really long. Then we had a hot spell. Grass completely died. It looked worse than mine did a couple yeah. of years ago when I killed it. So... when they first moved in, the guy was out there like every day putting down some kind of seed, running sprinklers, doing, you know, raking up the old crap, trying to bring the grass back. And he did. To my shock, he brought it back and it was like the lushest, greenest grass ever. It's like, holy crap, this guy really like he really dedicated himself.
Yeah.
And he did. Did a phenomenal job with it.
An impressive comeback.
Very impressive comeback. And he's kept up on it very nicely throughout the, you know, since last year. Excuse me. And so we got home. We were out running some errands this morning. Got home and I was like, what is he doing? It looked like one of those little narrow shovels where the blade of the shovel is like 3 inches wide. Like you see them if you're going to be like edging a garden or something, it's like a flat blade. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, yay wide. And I watched him. He was like, I just happened to glance over and I saw him like do the thing where you step down on it and kind of wiggle it back and forth. Go a couple inches more, step down on it, wiggle it back and forth. I was like, oh, I guess maybe they're planting a new garden or something. And then like an hour later, still doing it. 2 hours later, still doing it. 6 hours later, still doing it. And at this point, he's in the middle of the front yard. He's on the side yard, the other side yard. I see him in the backyard. I think that he's doing, you know, like in the fall, you do like the aeration, the core aeration.
Yeah.
Where normally you have a service come out and they drive across your lawn and it pulls the little plugs of the dirt out. And that way, when you put down seed, it goes down in there and it's nice and good for next year. But he's doing the entire yard manually with like a 3-inch wide thing.
It's like reminiscent if you saw somebody, and I haven't seen one in the flesh, like it being used, one of the lawnmowers where it's just like a roller.
Yeah, and you push, pull, step forward, push, pull.
I can't think of another comparison of why this is something that would happen, because
I don't know.
We've long talked about this, you and I, because you're a DIYer. I'm a cut a check guy.
I'm slowly. It's taken me a little while, but I'm slowly coming to your side.
That's a cut a check moment.
That is absolutely a cut a check
because moment. It's a small check comparatively.
Don't get me wrong, like. I completely admire the dedication to doing that, because I would have gotten about one pass on the lawn and been like,
nope,
this is stupid, and thrown that stupid thing in a tree.
It's unbelievable to watch it, because I would do a quadruple take. If I were to get home, take that tool out of the back of my car,
yeah,
stand in the middle of the front lawn, look at the size of the tool, look at the scope of the yard, realize it's duplicated or, you know, close to in the back.
Maybe it was one of those things where he ordered the tool online and in the picture it looked like it was, you know, 6 feet long, 5 feet wide. And he was like, this will take me like 20 minutes.
You get that?
And then it showed up and it was not.
It's like the tool version of all of the meal prep services or meal delivery services where, sure, they're fine and they give you the food to cook a meal.
Yeah.
But you're looking at the photographs and it's a plate just bombed with food, mm-hmm. right? Like a massive serving of potatoes and carrots heaping over everywhere, and this chicken breast with sauce. How is it contained?
Oh, it's amazing.
There's so much sauce. Yeah. And then you put the food on your adult size regular dinner plate,
mm-hmm.
and you realize you're about to eat a meal that's going to leave you hungry.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, it's like the meals in, what was it? Was it Demolition Man, where they, yes. it's like the little pill or something. Yeah. And then boop.
I'm like you. I would have given up immediately. I would have maybe done a row, thought is that, you know, all the while you're formulating, is there a way to trick the process or to speed this up?
But still, like, even if you're doing a row,
yeah.
think of it when you, like how wide the row is when you cut your grass. Because your lawnmower, it's a regular push mower. It's probably like a 21, I think a standard size, standard like 21-inch cut. Yeah. But this is, like, just to do one of those, you'd have to do 7 passes with this little manual tool.
Oh.
Multiply that, because you probably have, I don't know, you probably do 30 passes on your front lawn or so.
Yeah.
25, 30 passes.
So I'm glad you brought it up. Because I have a theory.
What do you got?
And I've been giving this theory out loud.
Okay.
So one of my best friends lives 2 houses down from mm-hmm. me. And then, as I've talked about extensively, could not care less about anybody within a stone's throw of my house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking back, talking front, talking side to side.
Right.
Leave me alone. Couldn't be more thrilled. There's a pile of rocks in my neighbor's across the street driveway. D-Dot is what we had nicknamed him years ago.
That's divorced out of two.
Divorced out of two. And my instant concern was, oh, God, it's going to be noisy. I don't want that noise all day.
Of rocks?
Well, because he came home with a bold, with like a bobcat or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Where
okay.
you can, you know.
So, like, the like he showed up in a trailer with a, like.
Drove
on,
it off.
Full on bobcat.
Drove like, it off the back
you gotta
of a trailer.
You got to climb in, yep. pull that thing down over your, like you're on a roller coaster, yeah. and then use the manual shifters and
yeah.
everything.
Okay. And obviously, not knowing. No, you've bought things in that size before in terms of rock mulch.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So
a
without
yard or
knowing.
Two.
Ass load?
Oh. Okay, yeah, I think that's somewhere in between 4 and 5 yards.
So it was...
like, and no idea what he's doing? Is he, like, taking it into the backyard or something?
No, no, no. And again, you, I hope you fully understand. I don't care.
Sure, sure. I just... I didn't know if it was, like, if it was obvious what he was doing. Like, it was something
yeah,
in
no,
the front
no, nothing
yard.
In the front, because we noticed, and I actually probably mentioned it on the podcast, I think it was 2 years ago, because it was definitely pre-COVID. There was... He was doing mulch at the almost the exact same time as my neighbor on the left, again, don't want to talk to him, was planting new trees, but not like baby bush-sized trees, like young trees, right?
Yeah.
Where they're like 4 to 6 feet tall already.
Yeah.
So you have to have a large hole in the ground ready.
Yep. The big root ball, you drop it in there,
yeah.
water. Yeah.
And this was the day where my neighbor to the left was out there preparing for that, and I was walking up the driveway, and he yeah. started approaching, and I booked it into the garage and closed the door. And I've never been proven more correct in my life.
Wait, now, when you closed the door, was he talking? Because in my mind, he was talking to you as the door is coming down, and he just kept, like, bending over to the side, like, hey, it was good to see you.
Well, if you've got a minute, you can come back on out. And he just flipping a bird under the bottom of the
yeah.
door. No, I don't think he actually... I think he saw when he got near the property line
he
that
yeah.
I was not going to acknowledge. And
okay.
I have no shame about this.
No,
I'll
no.
do it again today. If I pull in the driveway tonight and I see him and he waves, first of all, I'm not waving back. I need everybody in my neighborhood, in my vicinity to understand. This happened yeah. two nights ago. We were out in the mm-hmm. front yard. My son has... There's like sand toys, but he uses them and he'll dig the some of the landscaping rocks. He'll put them in buckets. He'll put them
yep.
in his, you know, toddler size wheelbarrow and he'll move them around. And he was out doing his lawn mowing next door.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point he had stopped and leans over and waves and says, hey, guys. And I don't even move my head from the ground. I just continue to stare at the cement while Katie like gives a wave. I'm not interested.
Boy,
so I
you
knew
are just a you are a pleasure to live.
Just
here.
Leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to your kids. Your kids are weird. Okay? Your whole family dynamic makes me very uncomfortable. I'm not interested.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I've lived next to you for 7 years. If it was going to happen, it
what,
happened 6 years ago.
What do you think? Now, obviously, this is a very hypothetical, but what would it take, hypothetically speaking, to get you to be friends with someone? Because as we've documented on this mm-hmm. podcast, you have not made a new friend in 20 years.
So I've thought about this a lot.
How did we end up becoming friends? And I use that term very lightly.
Yeah, right. Like just victims of circumstance.
Yeah. Like
right?
did someone, was there an event that I've just blacked out where somebody put a gun to our head and said, you must interact.
Right. What's funny is I would
Am
consider.
Am I the last friend you made?
I thought about that because we talked about that. We posited this exact same idea
yeah, I remember,
like a year or two ago.
I remember specifically saying, when was the last time yeah. you made a friend?
And I estimated
a
decade.
And you were kind of stopped dead in your tracks.
Yeah. But I've now rethought that. But it's also, okay. I don't want to consider making new friends because I've realized the people I converse with the most are people that I don't currently work with, but that I used to.
Okay.
friend Ryan. He played softball with us. He lives in the middle. He lives in St. Louis. I went down and visited him earlier this summer. My wife and I
did.
We talk. I would say 6 out of the 7 days of the week.
Okay.
Another former coworker. Don't see each other outside of work very much, but we talk 5 to 6 out of the 7 days of the
week. Okay.
Other than that, probably a decade.
All right.
But it's weird. Most of those friends are.
It wasn't about me.
You had the space in the house. You don't get that podcast going. It was the six year long con.
So it was strictly a real estate transaction.
Yeah. And by transaction, you mean
no transaction.
No actual transaction. Like, you can come into my space.
Yeah.
Okay. What do I get in return?
All right. Okay.
So
at least I know where I stand.
Yeah. But
we digress.
Yeah. So I knew the DDOT was not doing front lawn work because the mulch and all of that stuff was done recently enough that, and this was stone. So unless he decided after a year he hated the mulch, was going to literally dig it all up, get rid of it, and replace it with stone, it wasn't in the cards. But this is also, I don't know what his backyard looks like. Again, I don't care. This is a lot of stone. So my main concern was for it, one, just be quiet. I don't want to be bothered. And what's funny about that is I was going to be gone the majority of the morning anyway.
Yeah, of course.
Came home. All those stupid rocks are gone. None the wiser. It's perfect. All cleaned up.
Oh, boy.
By my account, that guy is a perfect neighbor.
So if they had still been there,
I wouldn't have cared.
Let's be honest. You would have.
I wouldn't have cared about the presence of the rocks, but again, I would have worried, this idiot could be doing this at 9 o'clock tonight. You know, I've got,
because I think the normal person
catch up on Ted Lasso and interrupt that.
I think the normal person sees a pile of rocks in their neighbor's driveway and thinks, "Oh, they got rocks." Mm-hmm. Not Kyle. This is now a storyline.
Well, this is
now something that you are going to see. You're going to process.
Yeah.
Process isn't going to be good. It's going to be a negative process. You will have a conversation at least with your wife about it.
Numerous
conversations with yourself about it.
Yeah.
I'll probably get a picture or something at some point of you that you pissed about someone with rocks.
Well, so his
rocks. For someone who doesn't care. You care a lot.
I just want him out of my business. That's all I want. I want my business left alone.
Wait, how is he in your business?
He's not. That's what I mean. That's why I think I'm okay. As long as these rocks are not being tended to.
So as long as his rocks don't get up in your business?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's an accurate way to put it.
Okay.
And that's going to be on the poll. Should a neighbor's rocks be up in your business? And I'll tell you right now.
I think it has to be all up in your business.
I'll tell you right now. I think I'm going to win this poll.
I don't know.
I did notice that those rocks were split. It appears half and half. Because I said, a lot of rocks.
Split rock? How big are these rocks? Well,
normal size, like, I don't know if they'd be called fill rocks or what.
Like the rocks that we have out front of our house? Like the little, like, I don't know, 2-3 inch wide rocks?
Yeah. With another neighbor. Because about half of those rocks.
When you said split, I was I thought you meant
bad,
like all the rocks were cut in half. Like what? What do you, like, sit out there with an axe or something and just.
Terrible terminology on my part.
It's all right.
But there are now half of those rocks that were in his driveway now pushed up against. I know of a garbage neighbor because they're now a mountain of these rocks pushed up on the outside of this other neighbor's garage.
Now you're speaking to me when you're talking about garbage neighbors, because we went on a walk, family walk today, went to the park down the street.
Yep.
There's one house and there were 3 cars parked in the middle of the front lawn. And one of them had 2 flat tires. And I said to Annette, that should be illegal. They should not be allowed to do that. I'm, and Annette actually said, you should start your own, like, homeowners association. I was like,
force dues.
I think I'd be good at it. I would be the enforcer.
Could fund those shirts.
Yeah. But, I mean, you have to agree with me, though, right? Cars should not be parked on grass ever.
No. No.
Never. Especially if you have a driveway. We've talked about this many times, shockingly. But if you have a driveway,
use it.
Why would you park anywhere but that driveway?
That's been on the poll. Way too many people disagreed with that sentiment. It made me disgusted.
I need reasoning.
Yeah.
Why? When you pull up, like when you get to your job in the morning, all right, I'm assuming that you're the parking lot at your job, standard parking lot, there's probably a bunch of parking spots. And then at some point, there's going to be grass, like a curb. Would you ever think to yourself, I'll just hop up there. Park it right there, right in between the two oak trees. No, because you're not garbage.
I was able to quickly pull up just a few related polls. Yeah. I know we have asked this specifically before, but I can't find the exact wording. The related polls we have is driveway parking acceptable if you have a garage? That was 79%. The audience said yes. Mm-hmm. 20% of the audience said
no. That's what it's for. That's what a driveway is for.
Ridiculous. Are yesterday's willy-nilly back blackboard cleaners today's driveway parkers? So that's all I could find currently.
Someone has to give me a valid reason why you would choose your driveway or why you would choose grass over your driveway.
Are people who park cars in their yard dirt bags?
Yes.
72.8 said yes, percent of the audience.
Yeah.
So 27.2% are walking by the, you know, run down piece of crap car that you saw.
Yeah.
And thinking, nothing wrong with this picture.
And that's the thing. Two of the cars were, I mean, they weren't like, look, they weren't 2021 Cadillacs or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But they were perfectly fine vehicles. Yeah. One was just like a, I don't know, like a Jeep Grand Cherokee, and the other one was some other SUV. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you drove down the street, and you're like, oh, there's my driveway.
Right.
Let me go about 15 feet further and just park right here.
Unbelievable.
I think when you leave here today, I'll give you, okay. I mean, it's just instead of going left, you just go straight for about five houses.
Not that far away. Oh, perfect.
Maybe you could drive up there and then just do a U-turn right on their front lawn and drive back after you've checked it out.
Well, obviously they don't care.
They don't care at all.
Yeah.
They won't even notice. You could probably park there and walk home. They'd be like, ooh, guess we got a new car now.
Yay, we hit the jackpot. But my theory, and it relates to that guy and it relates to one of my neighbors on the left, is because I believe Murder House guy whose hand efforting this aeration today as a kid, right?
Yeah, they have two kids.
Two kids.
Yeah.
I think they're crappy parents.
I don't know why you would say that, but
hear me out.
Okay.
So there's a big...
But before we get into this, if this somehow gets back to them, I'm passing no judgment. I think that you are fine people. I've enjoyed every interaction I've had with you. I just don't understand.
I don't like looking at you. yes, I think you're a terrible.
Yeah. But that's coming from Kyle, who doesn't care.
You're an awful parent.
But this will... You'll think about this again, though. This will put a little strain on the old ticker, won't it?
Maybe. So my theory plays out like this.
Has your doctor ever talk to you about stress-related things and how you should relieve stress by not getting stressed about things that you can't control?
I got pills for that. It's all fine. So my theory is that the idea of being a good parent, at least in the eyes of other people, is by and large a big dog and pony show. Because the only people who really know you, The other person who's parenting, mm-hmm. whoever's in the house on a daily basis, yeah. right? So,
are you saying that everyone to some extent puts on a little bit of a show,
right?
Like, and if you're out in public, mm-hmm. and you know, say you're at a at the park, mm-hmm. and Reed's doing something. And he does something that you're like, oh, that was cool. You know, like he threw a ball for the first time or whatever.
Yeah.
Are you just going to say, good job, Rito? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to be like, hey, there's my boy. Go up and give him a high five, pick him up, spin him around. Like, if there's other people there.
In general, I am a big high fiver of my kid.
Mm-hmm.
I have really taken an active, like, positive enforcement is what I like to think it's called, but you know, he hears a song he likes and he'll dance a little bit, but I think even at that age, Steve, there's this little bit of apprehension about that because the idea, like, oh, this is weird, nobody else is doing it, I don't need to be, I shouldn't be dancing. Like, I've taken an active approach to try to say, hey, whenever you want to dance, dude, dance,
do it, man.
Like, who cares? If it makes you happy, go do it.
Well, especially a little kid. I mean, yes. Little kids can get away with anything.
Yes.
They crap their pants all the time. Nobody cares.
Yeah. So I guess I should amend my wording to say that I don't think they're bad parents. I'll say they're parenting averse. And what I mean by that is there's no reason a man with zero kids, let alone two, should be in his front lawn using a manual aerator to aerate his entire lawn.
In the show notes this week, Kyle thinks that anyone who does yard work is a bad parent.
Yes. Yeah, no, I'm happy with that description. I'm not even going to argue with it. My son mows the lawn with me, Steve. Because I'm a good parent. There's the only reason you're out there for that long is he works, you know, and everybody gets this way to an extent. That idiot appears to be more, but you work, you know, Monday through Friday, whatever, mm-hmm. you're working all day. So you're not spending 16 hours a day with a toddler for the most part, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
So it's totally different for a guy like that working, doing whatever he does for work Monday through Friday.
Working for the man.
And then wakes up on Saturday and thinks, oh, whole day, two kids, wife.
Time to go out and buy the smallest aerator I can find. What
the hell am I going to do with myself? That's right. I'm going to go to the hardware store and buy the cheapest, most inefficient tool
I'm going to find the hardware store the furthest possible distance away that has one in stock.
And I put it on the poll. Is there always a family man, quote, who actually hates their family in the neighborhood? Because I genuinely look like I would rather the idea of going out to mow the lawn or, hey, pull weeds or go do this or whatever. Rather do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy is actively saying no.
I'm going to do it.
Flip the script. I want it the other way. I'll leave her with Kid A and Kid B, which is what I'm assuming he calls them. Old and young. Boy, girl, etc. All those descriptors he uses to avoid actively, you know, being a dad. And I've noticed that with...
I don't know if I'll get on board with your theory or not. I think I would need some more evidence.
Well, let me posit the evidence of one of my neighbors.
Oh, good.
Wife doesn't work. He works, you know, regular Monday through Friday. And every single day, there's some different woodworking going on in the driveway or in the garage. Mm-hmm. Has like a mini shop set up in the garage, so they don't typically park in the garage at all. Mm-hmm. The saw's going. He did like a 2 month long deck overhaul, built the deck the exact same size, the exact same shape, just different wood.
Okay.
put up a trampoline.
Oh, trampoline. Trampolines take like about an hour to set up.
These are all done after work.
Okay.
There, my theory, he wants nothing to do with that madhouse. Three kids running around.
Oh, three.
Works all day. And instead of going home and embracing whatever you want to call that crazy.
Yeah.
I'll go put up one more deck board. Spend 90 okay. minutes putting up 2 feet worth of, you know, deck board or go saw three things in the garage and call it a night.
So can we update this to Kyle thinks anyone who does yard work is a bad parent? Kyle thinks that anyone who does yard work or has a hobby is a bad parent? You still on board?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I guess I'm curious on your take on this, Steve, because I don't get the impression that you're that way. I mean, we're recording, and when I asked if we could do a Saturday night record, you said, yeah, I'd like to be done by a certain time so I can help put Evelyn to bed.
Oh, yeah, all just dog and pony show.
Neither of those jack wagons are doing that, right?
I don't know.
This guy's waiting for the sun to go down so he can go inside so his kids are already asleep and quiet. But I'm the bad guy because I don't want a neighbor's rocks all up in my business.
Boy.
I'm just telling you, Steve, that's my thought process.
It's your take, yeah.
Is that those people are parenting averse. They don't want it.
Okay.
They want the dog and pony show.
Yeah.
They're going to go to the family gatherings with the extended family. Maybe they'll wear matching shirts to Disney World.
Oh, yeah. Like the ones that says thing one and thing two.
Maybe. In the depths of that man's heart, murder house inheritor. He wants nothing to do with his kids.
I guess. I was going to say, I guess we'll find out, but no.
You want to go ask him?
Hey, you hate your kids?
He's still out there. Guaranteed. Hand aerating his lawn like a total buffoon.
Two stripes further down.
You just need to walk over there and say, hey, when did you hate parenting? Was it early? Was it recent? Was it before you became a parent? Because that's possible too.
Yeah. Some people do. Some people hate it from the beginning. Well, that conversation will never happen, so I guess we're never going to find out. Do you want to get to...
God, I wish you would. Oh, I wish you would.
Well, you'll be the first to know, I promise.
If you were to approach one of your neighbors and just, hey, maybe if you could even like kind of sneak it out of Justin with a Y.
I don't think there's any chance.
Justin with a Y is matching t-shirt guy, right?
He's seriously one of the nicest people I've ever met. The whole family. Just nicest people I've ever met.
What's that? Is that a show pony?
So right now we could either get to, I know we have some polls to recap, I believe.
Oh yeah.
But we also have
been a few weeks, hasn't it?
You had a question for me.
Oh God.
About my chosen profession.
Oh boy. What is our timer at?
43.
To hell, let's get to it, Steve. So we didn't talk about my vacation. Maybe we'll get to whatever stories about vacation down the road. Not a big deal.
Still waiting on we'll get to them once we get to the Vegas story.
I'll recap my trip to Orlando. Right after I tell the Las Vegas story.
From 2016?
I believe our good friend Tyler Hunting was his name. Still waiting for that tale. Probably doesn't listen, just skips through the show notes.
Do you even remember the Vegas story?
Oh, no, I remember because it's seared into my brain because I'm still mad about it.
Okay.
Very mad about it. You want me to tell the Vegas story?
We'll get to it next week.
Next week, Vegas story a bit. So down in Florida, and I'm not a real radio guy anymore at all. I don't just typically listen to it. I have a lot of podcasts. Otherwise I'll have, you know, Apple Music or whatever open while I'm listening to music, but we're on vacation. Most of our travel on this vacation, well, all of it, that needed to go anything further than the road we were on was going to be Ubers, theme park, restaurant, whatever, you know, and Uber has their, still their mask policy, which made me feel a lot better, you know, so riders and drivers, whatever. But I noticed something down there I've listened to radio. I mean, everybody has in their locale and wherever, but I noticed that we're pretty much shooting radio right out of a preformed cannon nowadays, Steve.
I think in some instances, yeah.
So now, yeah. I don't know if you Yahoo still do that, where you go to the big conferences that are a big sham to get paid days to go to a different town and learn about how to improve ourselves as a radio show.
Well, I mean, as somebody,
you guys still do that somebody, dumb thing.
As somebody who obviously has a wealth of experience going to things like that,
so you guys are still going then? And
we did not go this year or last year.
COVID. So you're still scamming the company out of paid days off, so you can go.
The company doesn't really
paid days off for Steve to go.
All right. All right.
Exchange that.
Go ahead. Continue. Continue. Demeaning my profession.
Hey guys, I got a hot new bit.
It's not insulting at all. But please continue.
Because there's a station in town here. I'm not going to say the call letters of it, but if you live in the West Michigan area, it's not going to be that hard to figure it out. And it might not be that different, because obviously you've been doing this a long time. You've heard a lot of variations of radio and different morning radio too, mm-hmm. that you've put out of work. There is like the pre-made promo for the station,
mm-hmm.
and it's, I heard it in the middle, Central Florida. And I thought, wait a minute, is this a national ad? Because I've heard this at home.
Well, there's, depending on, I'm not sure exactly what you're going to say here, but there are a lot of them where you hear, say you're listening to a country music station.
Yeah.
You hear big voice guy say, if you're listening to the best hits, you're listening to Hits 103. And then you hear, hi, this is Taylor Swift. Hi, this is Jake Owen. Right. Hi, this is Kenny Chesney. Hi, this is blah, blah, blah. And then big voice guy comes back. Hits 105.
Right.
But yeah, all of those celebrity drop-ins, those are all just, those are all generic.
This one felt more local, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's a nice comparison to what I heard. Because what I heard was, and again, I don't know the letters of where it was in Florida, but like it was so reminiscent of what I've heard here, because it was 93.1 HIT playing all the hits. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned 6 times a day where we give away $1,000 with the cash kitten. Ching, 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 ching. Meow. And then, like, through a muffled phone speaker, it's, oh, my God, I won!
Is this a cash kitten? Yeah.
Why? Why can't you just give away money? Why does it have to be animal-related?
Well, there's always the long-time one was always the cash cow. There was always the...
There's the cash cow?
The cash cow was the... That was the granddaddy of them all.
Stay tuned 517 once you hear a song by REO Speedwagon. Call in for the Dollar Donkey. Hee-haw! Wait, is this the donkey? I can't believe I won!
If you see a number calling you don't know, you better pick up and say, hee-haw, is this the donkey?
And then it's always the same. What station do you listen to that always pays you with the Dollar Donkey? 93.1 The Hits!
But you can always hear that it's edited, because chances are, whenever you ask somebody to say the name of the radio station, no matter what, they're going to screw it up.
Right, that's... yes.
It's inevitable. The station could be called Hits 105, and inevitably you say, what station is paying you to listen? They'll say... 105 Hit, or The Hitter, 105.
105, the home run, the big hit.
Yeah, no matter how many times, like I worked for a station for years, and it was 105.7 The Hawk. That's the name of the radio station. No matter what, whenever, hey, what station did you win these tickets from? Hawk 105.7. We have literally never said that. We have never said it that way, ever. Ever. I don't know how that happened.
For years,
on the side gig, there was the segment, What Hot Wings Thinks.
Yeah.
without fail, every event that we're out at, hey, where's Free Beer? I love what Free Beer thinks. Mm-hmm. That's never been. I mean, eventually, yes, there were some times where he did a commentary in much more later years, but this is like 10 years ago. Hey, Free Beer. Yeah, tell us what you think, Free Beer. I love what Free Beer thinks. Never happened. Never.
Wrong guy.
Like, you listen enough to know a keystone bit, but you don't know the name of it.
Yeah. Coming up, 313, 511, 732, and 840. Listen to every minute. Capture each letter. Then you get to call in at 903.
I love those contests.
To the Money Monkey. Hey, who is this? You're on the line with the Money Monkey.
It's Lisa.
Same lady from earlier.
Right, yeah. She just keeps winning.
Customer service lady who had to overhaul all the phone menus.
Yeah.
She's now calling into the Money Monkey because the dollar donkey didn't pay.
No.
But I don't want you to, you know the goings on in radio, and yeah. I'm not saying this obviously doesn't pertain to your gut, to you guys, because you have a money giveaway, but it's sponsored by somebody and it's related to a trivia thing and it drives call-in traffic.
Yeah,
those are the things that make sense, and I understand this bit. I'm not saying I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Because it's radio, it's dying.
You want people.
You need people tuning in.
Well, you want people to listen as long as possible. That is, yeah. And it used to be every individual station did their own individual contests. But then with consolidation, the big companies realized, hey, if we keep these contests generic enough, we can have 300 of our radio stations across the country saying, we're giving away $1,000. And technically, they are.
Yes.
But there's one nationwide winner as opposed to one winner in every market and every station.
The code for you to know that you're being suckered into a text messaging service is when they say you need to text the code, the keyword, to 43430.
Yeah,
when you hear it at this time.
And even with that, I wouldn't even say that that's a scam of any kind. It's like anything else when you opt in. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, they have your information. Chances are, I mean, if it's a legit business and they're, you know, up front, no, they're not going to be selling your information.
Sure. Yeah. And I don't mean scam like that. I just mean, hey, you're now on their list.
Yeah.
You're on their SMS list.
But when you hear radio station A saying we're giving away $1,000 in the 8 o'clock hour, realize that it's not just you and the people in your local community that are getting a shot at that $1,000. Chances are it's people listening all across the country.
Yeah.
All of those. So say there's 300 radio stations across the country. They're giving away $1,000. So they all time it out. So at 8:05, they play the Money Monkey, or in another market, it could be the Dollar Donkey or the Cash Cow, whatever their own local branding is. And the giveaway that it's a nationwide contest is when they're asking you to call a phone number or text a phone number that's different than the phone number that they always tell you to call a request. Yeah. Or
if you're used to listening to the morning or midday guy or whatever, and they say, you know, 888, you know,
get 888 hits.
That's what's saved into your phone because you're still an idiot who's calling in to request music. And it's different than what the morning jock says that day.
Yeah.
You know. And also, I think, not to be fully disparaging, but local radio is not this boon that people might think it is. Giving away $1,000 an hour for 12 hours a day for 6 weeks, probably not in the budget for a hyper-local radio station.
For some, definitely. For some, it could definitely be. If you're in a major market, yeah. I mean, they have much bigger budgets. And even if for those in smaller markets, like, it wasn't that long ago that they were doing that. Mm-hmm. It's consolidation has done a number on radio, because now it's, you know, it used to be every radio station was individually owned and operated. So if you had 20 radio stations in town, there were probably 20 different owners.
Right.
But now if there's 20 radio stations in town, they're probably owned by three major companies own like five each, and then there may be one mom and pop and one religious
based out of the rural town station. 30 miles away.
Yeah.
I didn't know if this had been something that was covered at, you know, some of your workshops where they say, hey, get an animal, give it a synonym for money.
Got to be alliteration in there, though. The name of the animal has to be the same letter as the name of...
And then we'll send you the template to how to make the promo.
Ooh, the Moolah Moo Cow.
Oh, my God, yes. Because they're all the same. And that's what the takeaway from my big trip with my wife and I down to Florida is that radio is the same everywhere. And
I mean, unfortunately, there are not a lot of new ideas.
Yeah, pretty much all terrible. We can agree on that, right?
Nope.
Big ones, probably the biggest offenders. If you've got over 25, I'd say 25 affiliates over. Probably doing some garbage work.
Don't you work in the mortgage industry?
It's those real Johnny the Ducks and Lisas who try to do things a little bit differently, and they get run out of town by the big-headed gas bags who roll into town in their Teslas and their Hummers. And
Tesla, two of them this morning, by the way.
They,
fantastic cars.
Not only do they come into town, but they, you know, they bulldoze all the local people out of the way for their big hotshot, big city ideas and ideals and wearing penny loafers with quarters in them because pennies aren't good enough for them anymore.
Curious where you get this.
Johnny the Duck's flipping hash browns at the local diner.
Just don't understand where you get.
25 is the affiliate number. Anything other than that, you're probably a good person.
Anything under 25, you're a good person.
Yeah. Gotcha. Anything over that, you're a real dirtbag.
Okay.
Garbage ideas. Ruining radio. What are you guys at now? 15?
I find it hard to listen to you sometimes because you know not of what you speak.
Listen, man, stream of consciousness over here. Okay. Uh-huh. I'm speaking for the everyday man.
Right. Yeah.
Again, you don't have to worry about adjusting my lapels over here. All right. I'm the guy walking through the puddle on the street corner. You're the guy who's, you know, laying a coat down so you can walk through it. And it's not your own coat. You know whose coat it is? It's mine. It's the everyday man.
Hold on. In your scenario, I gotta catch up here. Yeah. So we're both walking down the street. Are we walking together?
Side by side, Steve. Work boots on the right side. I got mud on my hands.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So then we come upon a puddle.
On a street corner.
On a street corner.
About to cross the street. You know, it puddles there.
So, of course, I'm in a suit or something?
You're in your uppity garb. I'm not going to... Okay. I don't want to get too specific with what you're wearing.
So, when we come upon this puddle, I then take your coat from you.
Rip it off my back.
Lay it down in the puddle.
Yes.
And then do we both walk over it, or do I just walk over
it? No, like, I'm walking in front of you, because, again, I don't care. I'm an everyday man. I'm a layman.
Right.
I'm walking through the puddle because, hey, I'm a guy. I'm trying to get home.
Yeah, you got your work boots on.
And as I walk ahead of you, you do the old swoop right off my back.
Uh-huh.
And then you throw my coat down to cover the puddle.
Okay.
So you can then walk and not
Do
get
I then
your,
pick
your,
it up
your,
and
your
throw
penny.
Your wet coat back at you?
So here's my question now that I think about this out loud.
Right, yeah.
Because this was a thing in... they would represent this in older generations in movies and stuff, wouldn't they? Like, hey, woman,
which is
we
always
can't...
said, nobody ever actually did that, right?
What happened to the coat?
Did they just put it
back on, or did they then carry a dripping, wet, muddy coat back to home with them?
Yeah.
And then guy gets home, wife goes, hey, why is your coat destroyed? Well, a pretty gal was trying to cross the promenade, and I had to
help her. Need to put that on the poll. What do they do with the muddy coat after the puddle walking?
Yes or no?
Yeah. Now just keep it or leave it.
Yeah, launder it or lose it. Our new game on this show.
It's time to play Launder It or Lose It. Dun, 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 dun.
Of the out of context questions, that one's up there on the list.
Perfectly
of,
in context. I can't imagine anyone would be confused by that.
Well, anyway, you know, I appreciate it. I just, again, I want clarification on how radio works.
Look,
and
I
the
have
inner workings.
I have no problem giving you inside info if I have it. Mm-hmm. I love to do it.
Appreciate it. Maybe you can ask the bigger bigwigs on Monday if they got the recent email that they need to start, you know, coming up with a moniker for money and then an animal.
Boy, that's all I can think about right now.
Alliteration.
Yeah.
For financial giveaways.
Dino dollars.
Hey. Roar! Do we know? Did
cockatoo coins.
Did dinosaurs roar? How can we know that?
Yes, we
right?
don't know. Yeah.
Is that the
I think
proverbial?
the general consensus is that the dinosaurs probably roared.
Yeah. I'll be on the poll too. Can we be sure?
Is the general consensus that dinosaurs roared accurate?
Yeah, that's fair.
Do you want to recap the polls? We have time.
I don't have them ready.
Oh, apologies to Robert, by the way.
We lost over an hour this week? Right, what are we still doing here?
Hour and a minute. Hour
Steve,
and a minute.
Hit the music.
Oh, boy. What the hell? I don't even know what did we just talk about for an hour?
A real fever dream of an episode there.
Yeah.
My apologies, or you're welcome, depending on how you listen to this episode. You can find all the polls on Twitter. Facebook is still dormant.
Still not working for us.
Steve and Kyle. Those are all there. We'll recap those next week, I promise.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Steve and Kyle. Oh, we got, I heard from our friend Brian from the Commercial Break podcast. I believe that our episode will be going out on their feed next week. That is what he tells me. And okay. I have some stuff to talk about with you once we finish recording about some possible
collaboration stuff.
Collaborations with them.
So, not interested.
Okay, well, the Steve Podcast it is. Talk to you next week. See ya.